who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Isn't that a great verse? Isn't that a great text to preach from this morning? The context is very interesting to us who have a Gentile background. I assume that includes each and every one of us here this morning. I doubt any of us were born as a Jew. I think we're all probably born Gentiles. And this is the passage that brings the Gentile nation into the kingdom and family of God as a result of Peter's preaching to Cornelius and his household. And so we're very, very thankful to the Lord that it was always in his heart to include all nations in his family, Jew and Gentile, and out of the two, to make one people through Christ, reconciling all people, all sinful people to God through Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed on the cross, that the two might become one and that we could be reconciled to God and be filled with his Spirit and enjoy him forever and forever. So Peter is in the middle of his sermon and he is preaching Christ. They'd heard something of Christ already. Cornelius lived in a place called Caesarea, which was on the west coast, the Mediterranean coast, in Samaria, right between Galilee and Judea. And of course, the news had spread near and far about the Lord Jesus Christ and who he was, and word had been spread concerning John the Baptist's testimony and ministry. And Peter comes and tells the household of Cornelius. You'll have to read the whole story, how this came to be. It's a very interesting story, how this Jewish man, who himself had been filled with the Spirit, now was commanded by God to preach to the Gentiles. And he preached Christ. And he preached Christ and the work that he did and the fact that he died and was raised from the dead, and that he was going to be the judge and is the judge of all the living and the dead, and each and every one of us are accountable to him and can only receive remission of their sins through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Our faith is based entirely upon this one thing, that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We serve a living Savior. And there are witnesses, multiple witnesses in the Scripture, of course, that declare, we have seen this man raised from the dead. We were witnesses, eyewitnesses. And they proclaimed this truth, that God raised up this man, Jesus of Nazareth, from the dead. He was our sin bearer. God put all of his punishment and wrath and judgment upon his head and his head alone. And he has become the substitution for each and every one of us, so that we, through him, receive the grace and forgiveness of God and were reconciled to God by the work that he did, and not our own. And God sealed this. He seals this in our hearts by giving us the Holy Spirit and bearing witness in our hearts that we are children of God. The Spirit witnessing with my spirit that I'm a son of God. So we can know with certainty that we're forgiven, we're cleansed, we're in the family of God, and he now dwells within us. Nothing more glorious than that. But I like this verse right here that Peter speaks of. We're asking the question, what good is the Holy Spirit? What good is the Holy Spirit? Do I really need the Holy Spirit? Who needs the Holy Spirit? People perhaps would give verbal assent to that. But how many of the Lord's people are really living in the fullness and the enjoyment and the relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. How many people today in the Lord's church are consciously aware of this anointing, this fresh daily anointing and empowerment of the Holy Spirit in their lives? How many people would acknowledge, Lord, I need you this morning, as is illustrated in Acts chapter 11, you recall, where the question is put forth, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your own children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The context there is, if your son asks for a piece of bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? Will you, if he asks for an egg, will you give him a rock? Something to that effect. I haven't, what is it? See, a scorpion, yes. What he's talking about is your own children. These are the necessities of life every day. They need food. They need nourishment to love, to live. You would not deprive your own children of these things. And if that's so with you, how much more so with God? He knows you need the Holy Spirit to live. Do you understand that? Do you understand this picture that he's painting here? You need, I need daily the fullness, the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to live this life daily. And we must not live or attempt to live without this anointing, without this fullness of the Holy Spirit. I received a text, a tweet. I'm with it these days. I'm tech savvy to a certain degree. I know where to go to get the tweets. My friend Daniel Henderson tweeted me this quote from D.L. Moody. He says, God, just today, just this morning, God commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit today, you are living beneath your privilege. Oh, what a privilege. What a privilege. What a joy to be blessed with the Holy Spirit of God living in us and living fully through us each day. You're living beneath your privilege if you're not filled with your Holy Spirit. Beth and I, some years ago, we took our 8-year-old granddaughter out for a surprise drive. She had a day off school. And so we decided, secretly planning in love, that we would take her to Disney World. She didn't know. We told her we'd pick her up in the morning and that we were going to Orlando. Did she want to spend a day hanging out with Grandma and Grandpa? So we picked her up in the morning, and what we decided to do was to grab an Egg McMuffin at McDonald's drive-thru and then continue over to... Did I tell you the story already? No? Did I tell you the story, Tom? Oh, you look like you know my story. We decided we'd go through McDonald's drive-thru, get an Egg McMuffin, and continue over to Orlando. And this particular McDonald's had a Playland. So she said, 8-year-old Alexa, Grandpa, Grandpa, can we go inside? They've got a Playland here. I said, no, we're not going inside. We're doing drive-thru. Oh, come on, Grandpa, let me go inside. I want to go inside. Let's eat inside so I can go to McDonald's Playland. I said, Alexa, we are just doing drive-thru. We are not going inside. Grandpa, you never let me do what I want to do. You never give me what I want. Grandpa, why can't we go to McDonald's Playland? I said, Alexa, we're not doing it. We're doing drive-thru. So we did drive-thru, and I got the silent treatment from the back seat. She didn't say a word. She was mad. She was ticked. She was upset with me. So we're driving across over to West Orlando, and at the appropriate moment with the eye signal, Beth says, "I need a restroom. I got to find a restroom quick." And I said, "Oh, there's the sign to Disney World. They're going to have restrooms at Disney World. So I'll pull off here and we'll just use the restrooms at Disney World." Well, you could hear the wheels turning in the back seat. "Oh, Grandpa, now that we're here at Disney World, do you think maybe we could go inside?" And I said, "Alexa," I said, "that's what Grandma and I had planned." That's what Grandma and I had planned right from the very beginning. You would have settled for McDonald's Playland. We had Disney World planned. And that's what Moody was alluding to when he says that Christian people who are not fully filled with the Spirit and enjoying all the fullness that God has for us, we're living beneath our privilege. And that's why I encouraged you last night to read through particularly the book of Acts, but all of the New Testament letters, and making reference and taking note of all the references to the Holy Spirit. And it's not surprising then that people want to refer to Luke's second letter, the Acts of the Apostles, and they want to call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because you see the activity of the Holy Spirit in that record, that historical account of the church being birthed. No doubt about it, that God was with them and in them and working through them by His Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but in my own life and in our church, I want to know God in this way. I want to see God move in such power, don't you? I don't want to be living beneath our privilege. All that Jesus has done on the cross in order that we could enjoy the fullness of the Spirit in our lives. But what good is God the Holy Spirit? Who needs God the Holy Spirit? No one less than the Son of God, according to this passage of Scripture. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You think of that. The Son of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, did not do any work whatsoever, certainly that's recorded, up until the time that he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. When did that happen? When was Jesus anointed? I thought he had the Holy Spirit right from the beginning of his life. Of course he did. But there was this special anointing at his baptism, you recall, when he was baptized by John. Even John said, this isn't right. He said, I need to be baptized by you. And he understood that Jesus would be the one who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And John said, I need to be baptized by you. Jesus said, suffer it to be so now. And as he was praying, being baptized, as he was praying, it's recorded in Luke chapter 3, that the Spirit descended like a dove upon him. And the Father spoke these words, a very Trinitarian passage. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus was anointed at that time with the Holy Spirit and with power. Hallelujah. Sealed, confirmed that you are my Son, and with you I am well pleased. Was there ever a more dependent man who ever walked the face of the earth than Jesus Christ? He who said, I can do nothing of myself. I listen to the Father. I see what the Father does. And those things I speak, those things I do. He was under the control, under the superintendency of the Holy Spirit every moment of his life. And he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. Didn't he? What would your other family members, your non-Christian family members, what would your colleagues at work, what would your neighbors think of you if you told them, I believe in a personal devil. I believe in evil spirits. I believe in demonic powers and unclean forces in the world that hate Christ, that hate God, that hate his people. That there are unseen yet powerful spirits operating in this world and wreaking havoc in people's lives, oppressing people, harassing people, controlling people, dominating people. What would people think about you if they knew that you believed in such things? You do believe in such things, don't you? Jesus certainly did. The Bible has clear record of these things. Oh, we don't believe in that stuff now in this age of psychology and understanding and medicine. We can account for these behaviors now. It's only uneducated third world people who believe in such things. Not according to the Bible. Not according to the Bible. Tom quoted earlier that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever from Hebrews 13. He hasn't changed. He who came into this world and died on the cross, it says in Hebrews chapter 4, to destroy the works of the devil, to destroy him who had the power over our lives, particularly with regards to fear and the fear of dying. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, the first thing that the Spirit did was he led him into the wilderness. The Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Remember that. There's this great battle that took place, this great encounter between Christ the good, Satan the evil. And the right man won and came out victorious. And went forth in the power of the Spirit. And then the first thing out of his mouth was quoting Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he has anointed me to go and to preach the good news. To heal people. To open the eyes of the blind. To set those at liberty, those who are captive at liberty. He is the same today. He is the same in this room right here this morning. Any of his people who are oppressed and harassed and bound and governed and controlled and negatively influenced by Satan and by demonic powers. He is here to set his people free. And he does so by the power of his Spirit. Oh, he was anointed. Jesus Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. Not only was he anointed from heaven, he was known in hell. That's what the evil spirit said. Jesus, Holy One of God, we know who you are. We know who you are. If you come to torment us before our time, we know who you are. It says in the scriptures that the devils fear and tremble at the name of Jesus. Lord God Almighty. He defeated him in the wilderness, right there and then, so that when he went forth from that place to minister, when he came across anyone who was bound by an evil spirit, he spoke to that spirit, rebuked it, and cast it out, and it went. Because he had conquered the strong man. And he went forth to spoil the strong man's goods and set people free. Glory to God. Very interesting, isn't it? The Old Testament picture of this, the familiar story of David and Goliath. And you remember there was posited this scenario. You put your best man against our best man. And whoever wins, the other will be your servant. And we know the story how God used David. And it says that he went at Goliath with a sling and a stone, a very small thing. And he brought down that great giant, didn't he? But what is interesting is that you can read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 17, where it says that David slew, or he killed Goliath with the sling and the stone. And then it says he looked for a sword. And it says he killed him with the sword. He chopped his head off. And you think, did he kill him with the stone? Or did he kill him with the sword? It says he killed him with both. You read it. And I liken that passage to the two times when really Jesus killed, if you like, the enemy. Once in the wilderness, and secondly, where? At the cross. And he defeated our ancient foe. The right man is on our side. God is for you. He's not against you. And he wants to set his people free. All of his people free. Everywhere I travel in the world, I see the Lord's people living beneath their privilege, not living in the fullness and liberty of the Spirit. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And God is saying to us this morning, you do not have to live like this. You do not have to put up with this. You do not have to relegate your bondage to, well, this is just the way I am. This is just the way my family was. God wants to set you free and to be free indeed. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and freedom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My wife's Jamaican. That's her heritage. Only half Jamaican. Her grandfather started the hotel business in Montego Bay, Jamaica. He built the Chatham Hotel in the 30s. The first time that I went to Jamaica with my wife, I noticed right off the bat on this beautiful property that he had, this one wooded area that was inhabited by squatters. And it was a mess. It was like the dump. It was a junky place. With all this beauty around, this beautiful hotel and the trees and the plants and everything else, there's this one area that was a dump where these squatters lived on her grandfather's property. And I said to Beth, why doesn't your grandfather get rid of them? Why doesn't he kick them off the land? And she said, well, he's tried, but they just keep coming back, and he's got fed up trying, and he's just living with it, letting them live there, not bothered. And that is such a picture of certainly the persistence of the devil. He doesn't let go easily and quickly, and we have got to be more determined and more persistent. According to the Word of God, I don't have to live like this. I don't have to put up with this any longer. You remember in the Old Testament story where God promised the land to Joshua and the children of Israel, and he said, I have given you this land. It is yours. But you have got to go and possess it, and you've got to dispossess the enemy. Remember. And he said, wherever you put your foot, it's yours. You stop putting your foot, that's it. That's the boundary. And you remember, there were some nations that were difficult to get rid of, and finally they just put up with them. Let them hang around. You don't need to put up with the enemy. One trace of the enemy, he has for the believer, for those who put their trust in Jesus Christ, for those who are washed in the blood of Christ, those who have confessed and repented of their sin, those who are cleansed of their sin. The devil has no legal right any longer to harass you, to control your life, to have strength and domination in your life, to bind you, particularly with fear. We had a woman in our church. She said, I just had this sense. I don't know why it was, how it happened, when it happened, but there was always this sense of this presence behind me. It was a dark presence. It was an eerie presence. It was this spirit, she said, that was always behind my right shoulder. And it inhibited me. It restricted me. It made me feel unclean. And I've had it for a long time. Until we ministered to her. And that was the end of that. We need to differentiate two things within our being. That which needs to be crucified, not cast out. But there is that which needs to be cast out, which is a demonic oppression or presence of evil. When I was a little boy, 6, 7 years of age, my grandfather, the whole family, but particularly my grandfather, used to take me to this lake, very similar to this, as a matter of fact, just west of Toronto, called Lake Erin. And I went in the lake. My parents always warned me, you go in the lake, there are leeches in the lake. You're 7 or 8, you don't care. You go in, and sure enough, you come out, you got these leeches on you. And that's what the devil is like. You know, some of us, we have come in contact with these leeches. Some of us have opened ourselves up to these things, by the way, because of our involvement in the occult, involvement in witchcraft, fiddled around with Ouija boards or necromancy or trying to contact the dead. These things are very, very dangerous. We had another woman in our church that she went to see the movie, The Exorcist, twice. She said, from that point on, for the subsequent 10 years, she said, I couldn't sleep at night without a light on. I was so fearful because of what she had opened herself up to. Demonic presence. Need to be very, very careful. My parents took me to visit my great-grandmother, my grandfather's mother, my great-grandmother. She was a good Baptist and a bookie and a bootlegger. It's true. In that order. Not a very good Baptist. And I'll never forget, young boy taking to me to visit my great-grandmother. We called her Gran. And one of the things she did was she read tea leaves. And I'm a young boy, and everybody was having their tea leaves read, including me. And one thing that I secretly wanted was a dog. And she was reading, she didn't know this, she's reading this my cup, and she says, oh, I see a dog in your future. Yeah, I see a dog in your future. And I thought, wow, isn't that good? Just what I'm after. I got the dog shortly afterwards. My parents got me the dog, but who knows what else I got along with it. I don't know if there's enough room in your theology, but there are probably enough people here who, as Christians, needed ministry to be released from evil spirits. There are some that say a Christian cannot have an evil spirit. Well, that wasn't the case for me and many, many other people I know, that somewhere along the line, because of these leeches, because of what I had opened myself up to, I needed to be set free by the Lord Jesus Christ. And those spirits, those troublesome, all spirits are unclean, by the way, they needed to be cast out. And they needed to be with the authority of God's word. They needed to be rebuked and removed. And they have no place. They have no place as long as there isn't any unconfessed sin in your life. No legal ground. Those things, such as I've just mentioned, they need to be renounced. Those kinds of evil practices, they need to be renounced. Some of it can be inherited even. I mentioned my grandfather. He was like a father to me, my grandfather. I loved him dearly. He taught me how to drive. His 1959 Chevy Biscayne. He taught me how to drive. Standard. I can remember trying to get the clutch and the gas working the right way and grinding those gears. Not once did he lose his temper. Not once did he swear at me. Not once did he... No, he was very patient. So he taught me how to drive all of Mist and ended up buying that car. My first real car, bought it for $300, even though it had a hole in the back seat. My grandfather was a Mason. My grandfather was a 32nd degree Mason. He was the Grand Master. And the greatest desire that my grandfather had for his precious grandson is that I would become a Mason. But I became a Christian. I told you the other night when I started going to the Baptist church for ulterior motives. And I got saved. And I knew I couldn't become a Mason. It's a cult. And my grandfather wanted me to become a Mason, but he didn't push it. But this one year, he gave my mother, my sister, and myself this beautiful framed photograph of himself in his Masonic garb. I can still see it. Beth can as well. With the gold chain around his neck with all their medallions and emblems and so on, all the religious regalia. And he gave us that. And I love my grandfather so much. And I hung that picture up in our living room. And I don't know how long it was that it stayed there, but somewhere along the line, the Holy Spirit convicted me of having that picture of my grandfather in our home because of all that it represented. And I knew what he wanted me to do. I took that picture off the wall and I went into our garage. And before I smashed it on the concrete floor, I prayed. Lord, I realize, I see it so clearly, that the chains around my grandfather, whom I love so much, are spiritual chains that are keeping him from coming to know Jesus. And I pray that you would break the chains around him, the spiritual chains, just as I'm about to break this picture. And you know how much I love him, but I know that this is displeasing to you, having it in my home. And it was shortly afterwards I was able to lead my grandfather to the Lord. And he became a Christian before he died. Praise God. Back in those days, how sensitive are you to the Holy Spirit? It just seems to me generally that today there's such compromise in the church as I travel around. And you wonder, is the Holy Spirit present in people's lives? I mean, really present. To what degree, oh Lord, to what degree are you being grieved and tested and quenched? The Bible says these things of the blessed Holy Spirit. There was days in our lives where Beth and I mean, we literally cleaned house of records. Dating myself, aren't I? Records. Not cassettes. Not CDs. Records. Records that we had that were unclean because of some of the material, books that we had. We literally cleaned house. Not only were our temples, our bodies, to be the habitation of the Holy Spirit, but we wanted our home to reflect God as well. Our dress, our possessions. We did that. I can remember, and Beth will as well, that we went out on a date. We still date. Beth will say to me, are we dating yet? She's already said it on this trip. Are we dating yet? Yeah, we're dating. We're dating. We still date. We went out on a date shortly after we were married, 2 or 3 years after we were married, got a babysitter in, and we came in. And this woman, young girl, teenager, who was babysitting, what are you watching? And this is a long time ago now. And we thought, boy, that's a demonic movie that you're watching. And anyway, shut it off. But we thought to ourselves, dear, oh dear, here in our own home, that somebody is able to be exposed by their own choice to such filth. You know what we did? The next day, we took that TV, that $400 General Electric color TV, we put it out in the driveway for the trash to be picked up. We did. Because we didn't want someone else to be exposed to filth in our home. You two were radical. You two were radical. Oh, God is calling out of people today. Not to be in bondage to these things, but I'm talking about a radical people for Jesus Christ. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and continuously filled and have an unclouded heaven, open heaven over you and an ungrieved spirit within you, oh, we've got to be so sensitive to His Spirit. I was in a prayer meeting last year, last August, with a group of other pastors. We go away, 3-day prayer meeting, just to wait on God without any agenda, to seek His face. And the Lord began dealing with us, the pastors. Logs, leavens, leaven and leprosy. That was what the Lord spoke to us about. You guys need to get rid of the logs in your own eyes before you try to get rid of splinters in other people's eyes. You guys need to get rid of the leaven of hypocrisy and legalism in your own lives. And remember the story where God told Moses to stick his hand in his bosom and he pulled it out and it was leprous, speaking of sin. And so God was dealing with sin in our own lives. The Holy Spirit comes to do that as we grow. He is the sanctifier. And sanctification is an ongoing process in all of our lives. Because He's purifying us. He's purging us. He's making us prepared as a bride without spot or blemish to stand before Christ. I want that. I don't hear many people, do you, Tom, these days, talking about holiness. Pursue holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. It seems like so many of the Lord's people are just content to, well, just get by with the bare minimum. I'm just human, so that's just the way I am. That's just the way the Lord's people are. And there's so little power. There's so little purity in the Lord's people. And it ought not to be. And so we read the scriptures. And we say, wow, my life and my church doesn't look like this. So God's saying, humble yourself before me. Repent. Come up higher. I will bring you up higher. I will bring you into the fullness of these things. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the good things that God has prepared for those who love Him. If you love Him, Jesus said, you'll obey Him. And He'll be everything to you. Jesus went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with Him. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. He's not changed. He's not changed. We have an enemy. We have a very real enemy, not to be feared, but not to be taken lightly either. And if we're going to help people, if we're going to minister to people, we need to do so on the authority of God's Word and through the person and the accomplished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It gets down to this, that people are not the enemy. They are victims of the enemy. I know ultimately that we're responsible for our own lives and sin, but the author of sin is the enemy, and you and I on our own are no match for him. I just looked through the Bible and I wrote these things down, that it was Satan that caused David to disobey God. It was Satan that caused Judas to betray Christ. It was Satan that caused Peter to rebuke Christ. It was Satan that caused Ananias to lie to the Holy Spirit. It was Satan who hindered Paul in his ministry to others. It was Satan who steals the seed of God's word. It is Satan who sows tares among the wheat. It is Satan who lays snares for men. It is Satan who blinds the minds of men. It is Satan who binds some people with sickness and with infirmity. It is Satan who seeks to sift as wheat. It is Satan who seeks to devour as a roaring lion. It is Satan who comes to buffet us. It is Satan who comes as an angel of light. It is Satan who accuses the brethren night and day. It is Satan who is called the enemy, murderer, liar, thief, tempter, slanderer, ruler of darkness, prince of this world, god of this age, the angel of light. And it is this same Satan that Jesus came to defeat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going to have a time of prayer. The Lord is with us this morning by His Spirit. He wants to set you free. You don't have to live under the condemnation, the oppression, the harassment, the captivity of Satan and demonic powers in your life. That is not your inheritance in Christ. You can be free. Not just when you get to heaven, whom the Son sets free. They're free indeed. You can be free now. And I don't know this morning how God has applied or is applying a very general word specifically to you. But you know if you're free or not. The Lord wants to minister to you today. I love that verse. That God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And He's here to do good this morning. He always does good. To heal. That word heal is a great word in the Greek. It also means to save. It also means to deliver. It does mean to heal physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, to rescue, to set free, to heal all those who are oppressed and harassed and under the foot of the devil. Some of that is our own doing. Some of that we are innocent victims, and maybe by parents or whatever, or inherited, it's happened.